¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
All right, so you're talking about guys and how they run and move. And Cassie, coincidentally, is talking about guys and bro code and boundaries, even when it comes to guys.
Yeah, I would love some advice for the men from the men on the show, and save that because I'll never say that sentence again. I have a friend, and his wife became friends with a really cool woman who is also married. So when you're in a couple like that, he kind of inherited her husband as one of his friends, and they actually hit it off. They are friends, like they have a lot of common interests. So it's great. And finding another couple that you can hang out with, we've always said on the show, is kind of rare. But he was talking to me and he's like, I don't know how to address something with this guy. And I'm not sure I want to tell my guy friends just yet because I feel like maybe I'm overreacting. He goes, this dude slaps me on the butt like a football slap. Like, what's up, bro? Mm. And he's like, and I don't like it. And it's not anything homophobic or like that. And it really isn't. Like, I know this guy. It's not. He's just like, I'm just uncomfortable with people touching me.
Yeah.
Who outside of my wife, essentially. Like, he's like, he does not get massages. He does not like being touched.
So in what scenario is he getting a smack on the ass? I mean, it's not sports. They're not playing softball. They're not playing soccer, dodgeball, nothing. They're just like hanging out at a bar or whatever when they hang out. When one dude goes to the bathroom, the other one slaps him on the ass.
Basically.
What?
Like they're drinking. And it's not that often. It's like not every time, it's just random, and it's usually when they've both been drinking or the whole couple crew's been drinking, and he's like, I don't know how to say I don't like it. I don't want to ruin this friendship, and I don't want to make things awkward, and I don't want to ruin the friendship for my wife either, because, you know, she'll kill me. And my wife's supportive of me saying something. He's like, I just don't know how to be like, bro, please stop touching my butt without it like being a thing. Because he doesn't think the other dude is doing, it's not, he doesn't think the other guy is being creepy. Does that make sense? It's not like he's coming on to him. It's not like he's trying to plant seeds for something down the line. It's literally like, it seems like it's the equivalent of this guy's version of like a hug or a high five. It's just a real fast butt slap on the outside. Like the, not like meaty cheek butt, but like on the outside, like part where it kind of meets the thigh. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we have said before that don't guys get over stuff pretty quickly?
Super quick.
Very fast.
This feels like, as a guy listening to this, this could be a very easy scenario to change.
Like, I could see, like, from a female's mentality, you know, oh, this is going to become a thing. But for dudes, y'all can like talk about awkward stuff and then just squash it, be done with it. And there's no lingering resentment or awkwardness.
Yeah. I mean, for me, in my experience is I've had a friend who he didn't touch me on my butt, but he's pretty touchy when he gets drunk.
Yeah.
And that's just his thing. And I've had to ask him several times, like, bro, can you stop touching me as much as you do, please? And he'll get it. It's a joke. And then you kind of move on from it, and that's it.
Yeah, that's, I think, the way that we diffuse any kind of tension is with joking about it.
Definitely.
So all he's got to do is joke about it one time. Like, I don't even know what the joke is.
How about if he's like, this is the no friend zone, this is the wife zone.
Something like that.
Something in that area.
Yeah, this is the wife zone, not the friend zone, just so you know.
And guys don't leave a situation like that, and at least in my experience, tend to ruminate on it and think about it over and over and over again the way women do. So I think that is an easy one. It happens, it jokes, he gets it, and they move on. Dude doesn't walk away going, I wonder if he thinks I'm gay. Oh, I've been doing that, and I've been making him so uncomfortable for the last couple of months. We don't think like that. It's over.
God, it must be so nice.
Yeah.
I'm like in my head, all these scenarios, and I'm just going to tell him to do that, because he's an awkward dude as is, so maybe the joke will be funny.
If he went in very distraught and upset, like, He didn't say anything the first time, so this dude doesn't know there's a problem and there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't come at him with anger or resentment and like, why are you touching me? Stop touching. You know what I mean? Like, because he didn't know he was doing anything wrong. So I think if you come at it lighthearted, and if you don't make it a thing, it won't be a thing.
I've known thousands of guys in my life, and none of them have ever slapped me on the ass outside of a field.
Definitely not.
What I was going to ask, like, is that like an outlier no. bro move? That
not if you don't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
No.
Some kind of points.
You got to make a shot. Something, man.
And I'm curious: are there some sports where, like, yeah, a butt slap, football, baseball, soccer, but like, say you're playing badminton,
golf. Golf is another one.
Yeah, never seen it in golf.
Yeah, you hit one great off the tee. Your buddy is not going to come up and slap you on the ass.
Pickleball.
No. I don't know. I've never played.
No?
I don't think so.
I might.
Yeah?
I might if you're playing doubles tennis.
Yeah?
Yeah, I might.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So pickleball, yes. Badminton, golf, no.
I haven't played badminton since the sixth grade, so I don't know. I might be out of line.
Okay, so then if a guy does slap your butt who's your friend and that doesn't happen, does that mean something else then?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, keep him, or are there just like quirky dudes who will do like they're quirky girls?
I would do it as humor almost. Like if Tommy was in here, right? Uh-huh. And when he left, I would slap him on the ass.
Yeah.
We would both get a laugh about it. It wouldn't mean anything, but it would never happen two or three or four or five times.
We have an HR now. Don't do that.
I don't know what it could mean. Could you?
I would lean towards quirky and really nothing more than that, probably. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, we're going to get Dr. Brooke Fott on here. She's a sex medicine provider in Nashville because one of our Burt Show listeners hit us up with an email, and she says that her husband's just pulling the same basic moves in the bedroom, and she'd really like to kick it up a notch. But how do you have that conversation with your partner without making them feel some sort of way?
And I'm going to give the kid warning because we're going to have some discussion of adult intimacy and piano playing ahead.
Uh-huh. That's why we have a sex medicine provider on with us.
Just in case you missed that memo. Uh-huh. Hey, Burt Show, I need a safe space for this as I can't really discuss it with anyone I know. So my husband and I have been together for 10 years and he's amazing. There are some problems, just like any marriage, but we've always gotten through them. We recently had some family drama outside our home, and how we've moved forward from it has really kind of changed the dynamic of our relationship. I think we both resent each other over the whole thing, to be honest. We've been through dry spells before when it comes to intimacy, but damn, the last like 4 to 6 months have been the worst. He never initiates, and if he does, it's the same old move of him waiting for me to roll over to go to bed, and then he starts grabbing my booty. I pretended I'm asleep because that does nothing for me after 10 years. I've made some suggestions of things we could try or things he could do that would get me in the mood, and he just continues to stick with the very routine experience.
So she needs something unique to get everything kicked off.
Gotta get the juices flowing somehow. Mm-hmm.
Last night, I finally just had a good cry after. I love him so much. We are great parents and great friends, and I don't want anyone else, but I need passion and chemistry. There are days we barely even talk to each other. I'm so scared our marriage is starting to fail. Mm. I have no one to talk to about it, and while I would never, ever cheat on him or hurt him intentionally, I'm catching myself wanting to talk to other people or get some sort of flirty energy and feel sexy. I just don't know what to do or what to think or what else to try other than marriage counseling, which is in the works. If anyone has been through this, I would love advice. I was a very, all caps, sexual person before him and I got together. I'm bisexual, and I always told him I'd love an experience with both, but he's not into sharing. We've talked about an open marriage, and again, he's not a sharer, and to be honest, I don't think I'd like it either. I feel I have no choice other than just to settle for what we have sexually, and I know it can be great. It's just been so long since it has been. Ugh. Help. Charlie.
All right, so let's get Dr. Brooke Fott on, a sex medicine provider in Nashville. Hey, Dr. Fott, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How about you all?
We're doing great. Is there anything you can do to help our listener, Charlie, out with communicating with her partner about what she needs in the bedroom?
Yeah, for sure. This is such a common thing that I hear in my office, and it feels very isolating, you know, because it's a, quote, embarrassing, or there's a topic, there's a stigma associated with sexual matters. Everybody believes that everybody's having great sex all the time, which is a big fat lie. But the fact that I commend her on saying that she tried to kind of show him what turns her on, that's fantastic. I always say try to lead by example. She could maybe try to step it up a bit and maybe send some flirty pictures or videos if she feels comfortable with that. Bring some devices or toys into the bedroom and use them alone so that he can see that she still has that sexual appetite and this is still important to her. Just anything to kind of not just gently explain, but kind of physically show. And there's one patient that I suggested. I said, what about even giving a gift of the Kama Sutra, and then saying, hey, let's play and maybe try some of these positions. And that worked really nicely to kind of excite both partners and give them some ideas of ways to kind of change up and spice up some activities in the bedroom.
Gotcha. So instead of like forcing an awkward conversation, you're saying instead of words, let's try to use actions.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry to cut you off.
No.
Communication is 100% key. And the reason that I'm suggesting the kind of physical type mm-hmm. or tangible type of actions is it sounds like she's entered into marriage counseling or about to, which 100% that's the foundation.
Gotcha.
Then there's sex therapy. However, I always recommend general marriage counseling. It sounds like there's a few issues they still need to work through, but sex therapy is a different type of therapy that focuses specifically on sexual matters. Mm-hmm. You can definitely address sexual health concerns and sexual concerns in general through marriage counseling, but there are certified sex therapists all over the U.S. So I definitely encourage that as well once they get to a place where they feel like that's an appropriate thing. However, if she wants to work on things at home on her own, that's what I would suggest is, stepping it up a notch and trying to get creative, but definitely open communication, maybe even just being a bit more direct too with her verbal communication.
Gotcha. No, and I think what's important to point out is at the very beginning of this conversation, you were like, Charlie's definitely not alone. Like, this is something that you have had numerous conversations about with fellow patients, and not everybody out there is just getting it and getting it good. And it's
correct. Otherwise, I would not be in business.
I was about to say, yeah, I probably would put you out of business.
Is there any way with the male ego that you actually can get a man to try to commit to being better in bed without him actually taking it as a slight of who he is?
That's a very good question. And this is a very general blanket statement, but I always joke that when it comes to sex, in many cases in a heterosexual relationship, men can be kind of blind to sexual cues other than just very, very direct, mm-hmm. And so sometimes trying to tiptoe around the situation can be completely lost in translation. So direct but sensitive communication is really key. And I think focusing on, like she said, it used to be so great and she used to be very sexual. They had that. They have it still. It's just, something's gotten twisted or changed or morphed. And so we just have to find that again.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Dr. Brooke Fott, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
Thank you. That's why we have a sexpert, because you don't want to hear that stuff from us.
Nope.
Don't ask me.
Kristen, you piqued my interest the other day.
What I piqued?
It was sort of in passing, but I would like to make a request.
Oh, God.
It's not going to be painful, as you already have this skill that I found shocking, surprising, and intriguing. I probably will never use it.
Okay.
You know how to pick locks.
Oh, yes. Okay, let's get more specific. I know how to pick a specific door knob. So, like, the lock on the door, I can pick.
Where did you pick up this skill? And when have you used it for evil?
Okay, I don't know how or when I learned it or why. But
I feel like that's a skill you would remember learning.
Because I used to do it in my home. I think it stems from when I was kids. So I have a brother who's 2 years younger than me, right? And we went through that phase where it's like siblings fight all the time. And he would go in his room and lock the door. But I knew how to pick the lock to get in
and
irritate the living bejesus out of him, because that's what older sisters do. They terrorize their sibling.
So what did you use that thing in your hair?
The bobby pin? Yeah, no. Yeah. I took a coat hanger because we had wire hangers. We had wire hangers. And
you have to be old to understand that reference.
What?
Okay. Never mind. Because I don't know what just happened.
I'm like, did you have a stroke? Google mommy dearest. It will all make sense. Okay. I got your reference, friend. So you straighten the wire hanger, like the curve of it, straighten it, and then you can stick it, and you have to push it in just the right spot, and it will unlatch the door, and you can get in.
Have you ever unlatched any other door besides that one?
Well, yeah, that time I crawled through a doggy door to break into my ex's house to confirm he was cheating on me, which he was, because one, I don't wear contacts, so I didn't need contact solution, and neither did he, and also, I did not use herbal essence. Anyway, I crawled through the doggy door. My hips couldn't fit through, so I had to, like, unlock it, and then I got in. But he also had the door from the laundry room to the house locked. But we're in the laundry room, so there's hangers and there's a wire hanger. So I was able to straighten out the wire hanger and jimmy it into the lock and push that button and unlock it.
See, God knows the playbook, man. He knows what your life is going to look like. He gave you that skill when you were younger to catch that nasty dude later on in life. I want that skill. I'm putting it on my bucket list.
Okay.
I have a superficial bucket list. I want to put that one on there. It's already on there, but how to properly load a dishwasher. And I also, really have this fantasy of jumping on a freight train, not knowing where it's going. Like a cargo train.
Hmm. Like
on the top of it?
Like, yeah, you know, it slows down as it's coming in, like through a city. If one of the doors is open, I just want to jump in the freight.
Like and a then, hobo?
Yeah.
Like
well,
a traveling
I don't think they call them hobos anymore.
What do they call them?
Homeless.
No.
Unhoused.
But there is a very small group of people that do that, where they just jump on the cargo freight train, and then it takes them to a different city in a different state. I really have a fantasy of doing that.
I have another one for you. What about hot wiring a car?
Oh,
I've always wanted to learn where they just rip the wires at. I'm sure that doesn't apply to cars anymore these days, but they like bump off that plastic panel and rip it down, strip it with your teeth, and then hot wire it.
You know what? We got to put this on the show prep. We have got to do a week of this where we all bring in one. We find a listener that has the skill that we want to learn, and they teach us how to do it in 1 week.
My favorite thing is all of these superficial bucket list items are all like criminal activities. Yeah, I want to pick a lock.
Why don't we break safes too? Yeah.
I kind of want to learn how to
put your hand to it.
I want to learn how to sell drugs.
You got too far.
Shouldn't we do that 1 week?
Yeah, I would love to.
What would be your superficial like bucket list item?
Well, I already did mine on Friday.
That is really green. It's not a superficial bucket list
item. Trust me, criminal activity was on my mind. I don't know. Y'all have horrible fantasies, because to me, a fantasy is like running away and changing my name and more.
That's just sad.
Maybe this is a sad fantasy. I want to like move to another country, start somewhere new, delete all my social media, to no one.
Witness protection is what she wants, so she's going to kill a man.
If it makes you feel any better, as a married mom of one, I've had that thought. So please, that's been a fantasy of mine. No, but nothing trivial or superficial like picking a lock or loading a dishwasher.
I have a fantasy of doing a high-speed chase. That would be amazing.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
And then you get out, you run, and then you get caught. I don't want to get tased or anything, but it never turns out well.
Never.
Sounds dangerous.
Maybe blackmailing my enemies.
Okay.
We bring a listener on that teaches you how to blackmail people. I think this got legs. Yeah.
Right, 911 is on line 4.
Put it on the schedule.
The Burt Show.
All right, look, it's an important job. It's a very important job. There you are out in the town. Maybe both of you guys are single, and one of you lands a big fish, okay? The great-looking guy at the bar or the hottie at the bar, and you're with somebody that just hasn't had the same amount of luck. Your roles change at this point. Now you're the point guard, okay? You are the wingman or the wingwoman, and it is your job to make sure your friend, your priority number one, is having a great time that night, gets a number, hooks up, whatever. But a lot of you guys, including Mo and Katie here, who have screwed it up over the last couple of weeks.
You're butchering this assignment.
Have decided to put a list of instructions together to be a good wing man and a wing woman.
As a fact, it is vital. It's very important to be a good wing person. We talk about how difficult it is to date and how difficult it is to find a potential partner. And you can blow it as a wing woman or a wing man for your friend. So I think it's important that we make sure that everybody who is ever a wingman or a wing woman understands the assignment.
So you've come up with a wing manual.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, a wing manual.
I like that.
Wing manual.
I like that.
You can go home. It's not going to get any better than this. Get out of here.
That's
getting
windy.
I didn't get it. I was like, that seems real obvious, no?
I would say that I quite honestly and pathetically, I had to be a great wing man. Look, my area of attraction was not going to be in bars, right? Okay, I'm a 5'4" guy now. Back in the day, I wasn't. That's just, look, the bars are for hotties, and I was never a hottie. So generally speaking, like, my friends were going to hook up, and more often than not, I was the wingman. So I feel like I can dig into this list.
Okay, so let's do it.
All right.
Katie, I'm going to go first. We can rattle off together.
Okay.
I feel like the number one rule for being a wingman or a wingwoman is simple. Never steal your partner's thunder or your partner's potential partner.
For sure.
I'm off to get it. You cannot do it.
Survey says bing.
All right.
Agreed.
Okay.
You should also practice scenarios beforehand.
like drills?
Yes.
You got wing practice?
Yes. I do this with my girls. We have a little practice scenario. I'm like, all right, so we see a dude. All right, what are you going to do? And if he comes up to you, says, you know, hey, this or hey, that, we practice scenarios and responses.
It's a coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
So give us an example of what this might sound like.
So, all right. So basically, I'll tell like my best friend. I'm like, look,
you're with Kristen. Yeah, Kristen is single, and you guys are about to head up.
Golly gee, I'm so excited to go out tonight. I really hope I find a man.
Oh, wow.
You're gonna have to be hitched.
Because that one is. Woo! All right. Okay. All right. So
this is so neat.
Whoa! All right. So what we're gonna do is tone down our excitement.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
We're gonna play it cool.
Cool. How do you play it cool?
Here, take the Zanny.
It's all about the tone.
Okay.
And the voice.
Okay. So what's my tone?
It's not tone. It's tone. Think.
Tone.
Think. Swag. Like, you know. Hey, how you doing? How's it going? Chill vibe. You like him, but you don't really like him. But if he approaches you, right? You don't want to act too eager. Mm-hmm. If you think that he's cute, you want to play it cool. Yeah. He asks about your drink. Like, I don't know about that.
But I'm white.
Okay. All right. This is definitely hard. I'm not
hitched,
Mo. I don't know if I'm Coach
Kristen.
You got to represent. I've never been in this position.
That's a tough assignment.
That's
a very tough one.
Maybe the two of you guys should just
stay
home.
That's not it. Yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, that plane ain't got no wings.
No. But I'll just basically tell my friend not to be too eager if a guy approaches you or anything like that, right?
Okay.
If he asks for a drink, if asked to buy you a drink, you can mention how common that is. Like, what's your end game here? You know what I'm saying? Like, a drink is too easy. All right.
That's what do you want him to do? Give you his watch?
No. Conversation. It's just so easy for someone. Hey, can I buy you a drink? Well, not. What everybody's trying to buy me a drink in here. What's
that's
the
a better pickup line. Hey, do you want my left shoe?
See, not anybody will give you the left shoe.
Hey.
See?
But a coaching session. Practice some scenarios or something like that with your friends.
Y'all got signals too, like from the dugout and baseball for the pitcher?
Well, yeah, that's also on my list, hand signals.
Okay.
You always have, have to have hand signals of when to come and intercept and when to leave that person alone.
That's important. That's very important. I also think it's important to not oversell your partner. I feel like a lot of people make that mistake. You want to make your partner look good, but it becomes pretty obvious when you're overselling them and doing a little too much.
Like what? Like, oh, this guy volunteers all the time on weekends, and oh, he loves puppies.
Exactly that.
Okay.
It's like, that's not even necessary for the initial meeting of conversation to say all of the charities and all the things he's doing, because it comes off as you're doing too much.
It's really, a good wingman is there really just to take pressure off of the dude or the woman and do it in a group setting where she or he doesn't even know what's happening to them.
That's also on my list. Since you said that, I'll get that out the way right now, too. You never make them feel as if your partner sent you.
Mm-hmm.
You always go with the approach that you're doing this and your partner doesn't even know you're there.
That's how I screwed up that time with you at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. It happens.
Kristen got
that's
up.
That's why we're here.
We were all having a group dinner, and Kristen saw a table of full-on hotties across the restaurant and decided one of them was going to marry Mo and walked over to the table and made a move for a grown-ass man.
Yep, that happened.
It sounded like this. Gee, golly, gosh, you're real pretty. I'd love to stand in your wedding. Will you marry my friend over there?
She was stunning.
What were you going to say?
I'm just saying I've been in this situation as a woman where I'm standing there at a bar with my friend and some dude will come up and then he's almost like the sales guy for his friend where he's like, my dude is such a stud. All the ladies love him. And in my mind, the only thing I'm thinking while you're selling this dude is, well, if he was really this hot, you wouldn't need to sell him this hard.
Bingo.
And then you come over and it's very obvious what's going on and it makes the whole situation feel very unorganic.
You are just the bridge between the chemistry between the two that you're trying to hook up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're the opener. Don't be the main event. You're just the opener. Just warm it up for him.
Exactly. But also, don't be afraid to intercept and take the fugly friend. If you know that your friend is having a good vibe with someone, you can't be afraid to take the other person out of that scenario and let those two have their own conversation, even if you don't like that person.
Can I tell you how extreme this got for me? And this is such a bad story, such a pathetic story. So I'm in Hawaii with my dude, John, and we meet two girls that are from Oregon. We're from California. We meet two girls that are from Oregon. He ends up linking up with the hottie in the group, and I got the not hottie. But she wouldn't go out with my dude, John, unless all four of us were going out. So we end up hanging out, and then I end up hooking up with the other friend, really more to be a good wingman. I wasn't attracted to her at all. And then when we got back to California, his girl wanted to fly into town, but would only come if the fugly friend was there. So I had to spend the whole weekend with her, man. The whole weekend. It was so bad. I couldn't do it. Like on Friday night, she came in. We hung out for a couple of hours and she annoyed me so much that I just left the apartment.
Wow.
I had to leave. I couldn't take it anymore.
Now, that's supposed to be like a one-time thing. You're not supposed to have to do that all season long. It's one game.
That was next level.
Yes, sir.
And also, at the end of the night, you have to know when to back off. So say they didn't have a friend. It was just a 101 and you just happened to be like the third wheel. You have to know that, okay, this is good. It's time for me just to leave into the shadows.
Yes, and you don't announce it.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah.
You just fade away.
You know when to leave. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, even if they did, you never make your partner feel like they blew it. If it doesn't go well, you always make it seem like it was the other person's fault so that your partner doesn't lose confidence. That's a part of being a good wing person.
I was never good at that. I'm going to give you tremendous amount of crap if you can't close.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way.
I'm invested. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chris, I'm going to give you an early Christmas present here.
Okay.
Because you, more than anybody else on the show, likes potty humor.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it's right down your alley, right?
Dude, I get so many people sharing fart videos with me on Instagram. It's ridiculous. And everybody share me all the different animal farts. I've gotten that one like 20 times, so I'm good to go.
I think Mo and I share this. We are not the ones that normally talk about farts. We don't really like talking about poop at all. We don't fart in front of our significant others.
Nope.
It's just, you know what? It just takes the intimacy right out of things. When 100%. There are others that are like, no, tell me about it. It makes me closer to you, right? All right, so I got an embarrassing one for you. So you've heard about these athletic greens?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody seems to be on right now, right? They're just greens that you put into, like, whatever. And you're supposed to get all your vegetables and fruits and, like...
So it's not a green juice. It's actually, like, a powder that you put in
stuff. It's a powder and it makes it a green juice, right? But it's all your veggies, like, in one little thing, right? Well, you know I have a very sensitive stomach.
Yeah, you do. You got a very sensitive tum-tum.
Super sensitive stomach. I can't believe I'm sharing this with you guys.
Bird has tummy issues.
Really bad tummy issues my whole life, which is why I don't like eating, right? So, and I certainly don't like sitting down and eating a whole bunch of vegetables, so put it in a scoop, I'm in. So I started taking this thing, and I'm not proud to say this, but the gas that I have had.
Oh, really?
the gas that this has produced.
The stench or the amount?
Stench.
That's such a specific question.
Well, I mean, those are two different things.
Like, this is not my butt.
Yeah.
This can't be my butt. This is almost like the equivalent of when you ever seen a dog fart and then have no idea what happened and looks behind him like, yes. What was that? This is the smell equivalent of that. And it's been so bad. I have never had this happen before in my life. So yesterday I'm running some errands, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm in my truck by myself. So I fart.
Yep.
In the truck. And it reeks in there. I'm like, what is going on in here? What is happening?
Who's in here with me?
So I park the truck, right? I get out. I go into Target. I'm in there for 15 minutes. I come back to my truck. I open the door. The fart is still there. Is that possible? 15 minutes later, still like, hey, like, open the door for me. Hey, come on back.
Wow.
Like, I am never going to get lost ever again if I stay on this, because I will just follow the smell of my butt.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever farted in the car, and it stayed in there when I got back.
Yeah. Yeah, this was, it might have been two errands. I'm not really sure. It just wasn't going away.
So when you farted initially, you didn't roll the windows down to get rid of it or nothing?
You just sat,
I think
in,
I did.
Just
sat in it? I actually think I did. Oh, yeah, okay. I think I put both
and
windows
still
down.
Was in there? Oh, my God.
I think it jumped into the backseat and said, I'm going to hang out here for a little while. And then I rolled my windows up when I went into Target, and then I came back out and opened it up, and wow, hit me right in the face. So, I'm like, look at you still here.
Yeah.
Look at us.
It's a weird, proud moment when your fart is so rank you have to roll the windows down in the car.
Proud, huh?
Yeah, it's only happened to me once, right? Because normally I can handle my own stench. It's actually like kind of comforting. It's like familial, you know. Yeah.
Is it really?
I don't mind. I like my.
Cassie's in the same boat. She's just slight, just a little bit less proud of hers than you are in this category.
No, I like it. Now, there are some times where I've got those kinds, and I've cleared a dance floor before, and that is not, that is not fun. It was at a frat party. Sorry, everybody. I guess the rum shot, I hit the wrong way. But otherwise, I don't know. It's not like I want to, like, sniff it up, is something, like, weirdly comforting or familiar. Like, when you remember your childhood, a memory, and you're like, oh, that's kind of what it feels like.
Like, you're like, oh, that's my butt.
So I'm the only person that walks away, like, from your own fart?
Oh, no, I sit in it.
Oh, my God. Do you really? You will just purposely sit in it?
This is the woman who can't handle basic perfumes, but your butt stench?
Yeah, it's mine. That's fine.
This is the dumbest conversation.
Except for that one time, which will live in infamy. This was early on dating Bart, right? And we were driving from North Carolina to Kentucky, and I had eaten something that will remain nameless because I don't want to call them out on the air, but every time I eat this food, it does a little something to my tum-tum. And I had an excessive amount of this. We were in the car, and he was driving, and I was in the passenger seat, and we had the dog in the back seat. And I was ripping them left and right, and they were so foul. Like, Bart was coughing, and his eyes were watering. We're driving home for Thanksgiving, God. And it was freezing outside. But he was like, F you and how cold you are. He was rolling down both windows, and then he'd roll them back up, and I'd rip it again. And he'd be like, Christian! And you have to roll the windows back down. I was laughing so hard. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. And I mean, for like a solid 20 minutes. Like, I couldn't. Because I mean, I wasn't going to sit there and hold a fart for an 8-hour drive back to Kentucky. So I had to release the demons, and there was nowhere else to do it.
You don't even do like a little sample fart just to make sure it's okay for it's family friendly?
Oh,
like a little one just to go, like, okay, that's bad. I can't do a full one.
Oh, dude, yes.
Little test them.
Little test them.
Yesterday.
I do it all the time.
I do not test. We don't have, there's no time for tests. We don't do tests here. But it happened, it was yesterday. Jimmy was sitting in my lap on the bed, and I know exactly what I ate. It was the ramen for sure that did it. And it wasn't the stench. It was like the loudness and the forcefulness of it. And Jimmy's sitting on my lap and I do it. And even Jimmy turned around and looked at me. And then Bart and I was pointing at Jimmy. He's like, absolutely not. And I was like, it
was me. I had this long flight last week, right? It was like a 10-hour flight. You ever been on a flight and you smell somebody's fart and you start to get pissed because it's so bad because you can't figure out who it is?
Yes, all the time.
That's how I was too. So I'm looking around and I'm just doing like a FBI profile on who it could be. Like, this dude, I bet. This guy right here who's been eating all this airplane food right here. This is the guy. I've wanted to like kick the back of his chair, but it was all circumstantial evidence.
I know that feeling very well.
We just talked about farts for 7 minutes.
Yeah, we did.
That's fun.
We just got paid for that, you guys.
The Burt Show.
Mo, are you a mentally strong woman?
I don't think I am.
I don't think you are either. All right, so I saw this article, immediately clicked on it because I had to read it. 13 things mentally strong women don't do. Mm. I think sometimes we focus on the things you do and we get so burdened with having to do stuff. There's actually a laundry list of things that you should not do or that you don't do. And this is according to a psychotherapist and bestselling author. I found this on CNBC.com from Amy Morin. And when I check out these lists, and if the first couple don't like snag me, I'm like, this list is stupid. This is a good list.
Okay.
I was like, all right, I'm on board with this. So again, 13 things mentally strong women don't do. So Cassie and Abby, go ahead and we'll keep tabs with your fingers if you don't do these things, okay?
It's like, never have I ever.
Oh, yeah. Put a finger down. Put a finger down if you don't compare yourself to other people.
Put a finger down if I don't. Okay.
Yeah. So measuring your happiness, wealth, and appearance against other people drains you of mental strength. The only person you should compare yourself is to the person you were yesterday.
Ooh, facts. I like that.
She was better than me, so.
Yeah, I definitely compare myself worse to other people.
I missed who I was yesterday.
All right, the next one. Put a finger down if you don't insist on perfection.
Mm-mm.
Both. All the fingers are still up in studio. Yep. I got some jazz hands going on. So although saying I'm a bit of a perfectionist may feel like a badge of honor, true perfectionism will hold you back. Establish high expectations for yourself while also accepting that mistakes are part of the learning process. Mm.
Oh, losers, okay.
Just accepting the
loser mentality.
All right, I think you both are going to put a finger down for this one, okay? You don't see vulnerability as a weakness.
Oh.
No, yeah. I definitely see it as a weakness.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
It's what our show is based on. We're vulnerable every single day on the air.
This is a safe space, but I think in like, for me, I have found baggage in the real world. Like, just being vulnerable with people close to you has not been great for me.
Yes. I'm going to put it down because I'm trying this new thing where I see the good in people, even though it backfires every time. And I'm going to believe that vulnerability is actually going to make me a better, more interesting person.
It says it takes strength to put yourself out there and risk being hurt. Whether you're the first to say, I love you, or you ask a question that might feel embarrassing, being vulnerable can be the key to forming healthier, happier relationships.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have different definitions of vulnerable, so I'll go ahead and put a finger down then.
Okay, yay! Okay. We have some fingers down.
There
All
you
right.
go.
Next one on the list. You don't let self-doubt stop you from reaching your goal.
Oh, yeah, that's a no for me, dog. I'm keeping them all up.
I'll put a finger down for that. Yeah. I think I used to, but now, no.
Self-doubt is normal, and you don't have to let it stop you from pushing ahead. Your brain will doubt your competence, but don't believe everything you think.
Oh, okay.
Mm, yeah, Abby, the longer you work, and I'm not talking about in this room, like in other industries I've worked with or people on the outside, you realize there are dumb people in really high positions of power. Like any, like other places I've worked, and I'm just like, okay, well, I'm way smarter than you, and you're very high up, so we're good, and I think you'll come to see that, and once you do, you're like, I got this.
Okay. All right, again, 13 things mentally strong women don't do. Your next one is, put a finger down if you don't overthink everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Y'all overthinking it right now.
You can't.
All right, so I'm going to keep him up. Yeah. Very fair point. Yeah. The fact that you all took a little too long to put that figure down, just leave it up, leave it up. Ruminating, which is something I was so, so bad at, and was one of the reasons why I got on my anxiety medication. Ruminating has been linked to depression, and it can prevent you from taking positive action. Engage in problem solving, but don't allow yourself to get caught into a cycle of thinking too much. Okay. All right, next. You don't avoid tough challenges.
I'm going to put a finger down for that.
I think you should.
Yeah. I'm realizing a lot of this stuff, like, I don't do anymore because I just stopped caring. Yeah. And I'm not sure what that says about me.
So you do avoid tough challenges?
No more because I just don't care.
Okay, so you don't. So you put a finger down. Yeah. You don't avoid tough challenges. Be willing to face your fears and step up to the plate. Challenge yourself to grow a little stronger every day, and you'll build confidence in your ability to do hard things.
Okay, I'm going to put a finger down, but mostly because this finger is starting to cramp.
All right, next. You don't fear breaking the rules. Cassie, you cannot put a finger down.
That's a tough one for me. What rule? Like, if it's a written law rule, then I fear it. But if it's like a societal rule, then F you.
Let me read what she wrote. Whether it's an unwritten rule about gender norms or it's a job you're not quite qualified for, don't allow gender norms, societal expectations, and rules to stifle your growth.
Oh, I'll put that down. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll put it down. I was actually looking back on my Snapchat memories, and I realized it was a year ago last week that I applied for this job.
Oh.
And I literally sent a text to my mom. I was like, I'm not going to get this job.
I love that. All right, next. You don't put others down to lift yourself up.
No, finger down.
Finger down.
Putting others down won't land you at the top of the pecking order for long. You'll only keep your position until someone puts you down. When you lift other people up and become a genuine cheerleader, you'll be more likely to succeed. All right, we just got a couple more left. You don't let others limit your potential.
Yeah, finger down.
Yeah.
Don't let rejection or harsh criticism stop you. You don't need everyone else to believe in you as long as you believe in yourself. That's what that one means.
I'm a halfway on that because it depends on who's criticizing me. If it's a loser, I don't care. If it's like somebody I respect,
if it's Bert,
I'll be ruminating on that forever.
All right, three more. You don't blame yourself when something goes wrong.
Oh, I definitely blame myself.
Yeah, I'll be blaming myself all the time.
Acknowledge your behavior without blaming your character.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, that's good.
What if my character's crappy?
Well, then you have other issues.
Oh, the problem.
Say I made a bad choice rather than I am a bad person. It's key to helping you learn from your missteps.
Yeah.
I thought that one.
I like that.
Good. That's a good one.
Next one. You don't stay silent. You definitely put a finger down, Cassie. So I'll read it for you so you can ponder it. Choosing not to report an incident to the authorities or not standing up to someone who abuses their power doesn't mean you're weak. It's up for you to decide what's best for you, but staying silent can drain you of mental strength.
Ooh, I'll put a finger down. I'd like to think in the right situation I would stand up for whoever.
Okay. You don't feel bad about reinventing yourself.
Oh, I'll put a finger down.
I love a good reinvention.
Yeah. It says, whether you make a complete career shift at age 30 or you redesign your life at age 60, it's important to engage in personal growth and pursue your dreams. I love you both. This is the last one.
No,
you're not going to put a finger down.
Oh.
You don't downplay your success.
I do be downplaying.
Yes, you do.
I don't have any success.
Yes, you do. Don't worry so much about looking arrogant that you refuse to give yourself credit for your hard work and your skills. Practice giving a simple thank you when you're complimented and share your success with others.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said the coolest thing on Twitter the other day where it's like, I'm going to give you your flowers, but it's your choice whether or not you want to water them or not. Like, if you're going to accept it. Isn't like that a beautiful quote?
Yeah. It is, because you always talk about it, because I got the flower thing from you about wanting to give people their flowers while they're still here.
They can still smell them. Yep.
Yeah. I love that. All right. It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.